So the epistle for the second Sunday of Lent is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Brethren, we pray and beseech you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so also you would walk that you may abound the more. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles that know not God, and that no man overreach nor circumvent his brother in business, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto sanctification in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 17. At that time Jesus taketh unto him Peter and James and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then Peter answering said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And as he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And lo, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And the disciples hearing fell upon their face and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said to them, Arise and fear not. And they, lifting up their eyes, saw no one but only Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, till the Son of God be risen from the dead. Please be seated. I arose today through God's strength to pilot me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We see in the epistle that St. Paul mentions that it is the will of God, our sanctification, that God calls us to become saints. And one, we know the story of St. Paul, that he was called to be a vessel of election. He was to become the apostle to the Gentiles. And God also called St. Patrick to be the apostle to Ireland. St. Patrick lived in the 4th century. And granted, there's always a discussion about where St. Patrick is from. It doesn't really matter, because St. Patrick is the apostle to the Gentiles, to the Irish people. He converted them. He converted them from their pagan background. But if you know the story of St. Patrick, obviously he was kidnapped as a boy and brought to Ireland as a prisoner. When he was finally freed, he left there. But it's interesting to note that God had other plans for him. He was admonished by God to return to how God referred to it as your people. And I think that's something that we have to try to understand and to consider. That God admonished him because he had left and he had not taken care of the people. And so therefore, God brought him back to the Irish. And from that, well, then certainly we know the story of St. Patrick converting all of the people of the Irish, converting them from, as I mentioned, the pagan background that they had, the Druids that were there. That he would convert them and bring them to a solid faith. So much so that we refer to the country of Ireland as the land of saints and scholars. Even though it's very small and it's been under persecution from, obviously, England, persecution for the faith itself. You see through that suffering that the Irish people had, of how it gave them a greater appreciation for truly what they did have. You know, we hear about the penal days, we hear about the Irish people that, you know, said Mass on the rocks to be able to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass. That's what we have then, the penal rosaries, the small little one-decade rosary, because it was enough for them to be able to say the rosary, but then for them also to hide it from the British soldiers. And so certainly from that, we see the sufferings that they went through, the crosses, the trials that they had, that it gave them a greater appreciation for truly what they did have. Granted that materially speaking, they didn't have much. But that is where then you see how the Irish people had such a strong faith. I mean, we know today the modern world has taken that from them in a large sense. Sadly to say, they were one of the last bastions against some of the evils of the world. But we see how the world turns against that. But, you know, we have to understand, we have to, you know, see how God allows us in our sufferings to have then a stronger faith, a greater faith. And that was something for St. Patrick himself, as he was kidnapped and he was brought as a prisoner. He realized his need for God. And we see what St. Patrick went through to illustrate that strong belief in God. I mean, granted, obviously, I quoted for you a bit of the breastplate of St. Patrick, this Lorica, this famous one. A lot of times we only know certain parts of it. But if you can find the entirety of the breastplate, it's a beautiful prayer because it illustrates the strong faith of St. Patrick. And St. Patrick was the one that also said to, as tradition has it, that he was not going to come down from the mountain from fasting until God granted him the opportunity to help to, in a sense, to judge the Irish people. But the angels went up and tried to encourage him to come down because of what he was doing. His severity and penances and being up on the mountain, he said, "Nope, I won't go until God grants me that request." And so it's something that's interesting for us. You know, a lot of times we just think of St. Patrick's Day as a time to party, a time to, you know, drink and different things. I mean, it runs contrary to, obviously, St. Patrick himself. I mean, certainly we can celebrate the feast of St. Patrick himself. But we also have to recognize what made him such a great saint. I mean, he converted a country. He brought them the faith. He was able, by his preaching, was able to convert that country. And he utilized something that was popular over in Ireland. And so he took the shamrock and showing to them the Trinity. So he takes something that is, in a sense, we can say so simple to explain something that is so mysterious to us, so difficult for us to understand. But through his preaching, he was able to try to give them that understanding of the faith and of this great mystery. And that is where, when we see what the saints have done, that is why we must try to emulate them in our capacity, certainly. The St. Patrick spent a lifetime in prayer and he labored for the conversion of the Irish people. You know, again, we see the saints, that they're inspired by Almighty God. The amount of times he prayed, the times he prayed the Psalms in cold water, different things. Certainly that's not what we're expected to follow. But we're expected to follow the great faith and confidence he had in God, yes. Again, according to our capacity. According to our state in life. As with any of the saints, we look at them as models, yes, but we don't follow every single thing that they did. God has not inspired us to that same capacity. But again, we go back to what St. Paul says in the epistle, but he calls all of us to sanctification. He calls all of us to become saints. So then we have to find that path. St. Patrick found his path because God called him and said, go back to Ireland. Go back to your people and convert them. So I think that was also something that Father Reuter had said, whether it was in his sermon or in the conferences. Not often will we have God specifically tell us, this is what I want you to do. So we have to try to discern that path that God has for our sanctification. And so, yes, we look at our vocation, we look at trying to see. And then if we're in our vocation, then we have to realize with that, okay, well, now I need to figure this out. Being in this vocation, whether it's the religious life, whether it's the single state, whether it's the married state, I have to figure out the path that God leads me to my sanctification through marriage or through the religious life or through the single state. That is what our obligation then becomes. And so it's important for us to recognize and to see that. So as I say, St. Patrick, yes, he was called by God to convert a whole country. And he accomplished that goal. But it was because of his dedication to prayer and sacrifice. And again, we think about that during this time period of Lent. According to our capacity, what can we do? You know, can we come to Stations of the Cross or benediction? Maybe an extra Mass a week, an extra rosary we can say at home. I mean, these are things that we can try to add on for God. And as I say, we see with, you know, St. Patrick that he prayed all 150 psalms. He prayed many times during the day. But again, he was inspired by God to do those certain things. But it was through his labors that we see how Ireland had the faith. I mean, yes, unfortunately, now it's lost it in some way. But I'm sure then St. Patrick will try to bring it back. And so that's what we must try to understand from when we see the prayers that are attributed to the saints. As I say, the breastplate of St. Patrick is a beautiful prayer. I do encourage you to try to look up the entirety of it. I mean, granted, we're familiar with maybe the Christ be with me, Christ in the front, Christ in the rear, Christ within me, Christ below me, Christ above me, Christ at my right hand, Christ at my left. We may be familiar with that single part of it. But there is so much more to it as a prayer that we can say ourselves. As a consolation, especially when we see that the state of the world around us. But there you see, just from what I quoted for you, you see how much that St. Patrick considered that God was with him. And therefore, God being with him, he was able to accomplish so much. He was able to do so much for God. Like I say, converting a whole country. Going up against the Druids and all these priestesses that he went up against. I mean, God granted miracles for him to show the people that they must believe in him. Not all these other ones. But as I say, this prayer is a beautiful illustration of his confidence and his faith in God. And that is how he then was able to convert a country. And that is why, in a large sense, I would say, we still celebrate his feast today. Because of what he was able to accomplish. So again, the world takes something that is Catholic and they try to steal it. And so let us understand properly the saints, their feast days, and what it means for us. And like I said back at All Saints Day, you know, you have them with Halloween mocking the Catholic Church. Don't allow them to do that to our faith and what it means to us. And so that's what's so important for us to have an understanding of our faith in the liturgy. And that is what will sanctify our soul. God calls us unto sanctification. God is calling every single one of us to follow, in a sense, the path of St. Patrick. Like I said, it's not calling us to the things that he did. He was called directly by God for that. But he is calling all of us to become saints, and we can illustrate that through our confidence and our faith in God. How strong is our faith? Do we have a strong faith? And so that's what we must try to celebrate today. That is what we must try to understand, you know, as we're still in this time period of Lent. It's a time period where we're meant to grow closer to God through our penances, through our sacrifices, through our prayers, through the additional things that we try to do. It is meant to make us closer to God, to make us a saint. So we're only on the second Sunday in Lent. We have plenty of time. We have plenty of more time to try to work out our sanctification. Because God has called us to that. So I'll leave you with some more words from the breastplate of St. Patrick. I bind to myself this day the power of his resurrection with his ascension. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.